Quick heads up, I do full chart readings at iamastrologyreadings.com if you want to go deeper. All right, let's get to it.
Hello, you can find me at Tarot360Astrology on Instagram if you wish to know anything more. I'm going to talk about the planet Mercury. So, Mercury is the mind and language and a trickster god of the cosmos. Mercury is your translator of reality, not your friend, your translator. And like any translator, it has an agenda. It governs thinking, communication, learning, perception, trade, negotiation, and cleverness. Basically, if it involves your brain moving information from point A to point B, Mercury is running the show. Sometimes, like a seasoned executive. Sometimes, like that guy at the meeting who just has a few quick thoughts and then talks for 45 minutes. When people do that, I have Led Zeppelin's song, Ramble On, playing in my head. The voice in your head has a name. Mercury is the narration track of your consciousness. It's the voice that says, that was a valuable lesson. And also the voice that says, this is a personal attack from the universe. Same event, different Mercury. That's not a malfunction. That's the design. Here's what traditional astrology figured out thousands of years ago that modern psychology spent decades catching up to. Your perception is not objective. It's edited. Mercury doesn't show you reality. Mercury processes reality and hands you a version of it. You're never experiencing the raw feed. Some people do like it raw. You're experiencing Mercury's cut. Some people actually do prefer things to be cut. I say it feels better. Which is why two people can sit through the exact same meeting and one walks out saying, great energy in that room, while the other walks out planning their resignation letter. That's not a personality difference. That's two different Mercury placements producing two different translations of the same raw data. Mercury is the only planet without loyalty. In traditional Hellenistic astrology, every planet has a nature, benefic or malefic, hot or cold, wet or dry. And that's going to depend, you know, what you're into. Some people say it's better when it's wet. Some people say there's more sensation when it's dry. So that's a personal preference. Saturn is cold and dry and chronically pessimistic. I'll bet several of you know some people that would apply to. Maybe you could call them Saturn on occasion. They won't know what you're saying. Venus is warm and moist and will absolutely talk you into dessert. Some of you may also know some people like that. And that's someone to keep close to you. But Mercury is neutral by definition. It has no fixed temperament of its own. Mercury becomes what it's around. This is called being of mixed nature, and it is the single most important thing to understand about Mercury, because it means your Mercury's quality is entirely determined by its cosmic neighborhood. Some of you people aren't invited to the neighborhood barbecue, so you wouldn't be able to find out about that. If your Mercury is configured with Jupiter, the greater benefic, you sound wise and expansive and philosophical. If your Mercury is configured with Saturn, you think slowly, speak carefully, and probably have a very good memory for grudges. If Mercury is configured with Mars, you speak fast, argue well, and occasionally come across as combative, even when you're just explaining something. Who doesn't like a good yelling every now and then? Some people are into that. I remember asking somebody what they thought about someone that likes yelling, and they said, that person belongs in a mental institution. But some people, you know, they seek out yelling. They like it. I don't know why, but who knows. So if your Mercury is under siege from both malefics with no benefic in sight, man, you're arguing with yourself in a group chat and everyone can see it. Hermes was a thief, and that's the point. Mercury's mythology isn't decoration, it's function. In Greco-Roman tradition, Mercury is Hermes. That's H-E-R-M-E-S. Not to be confused with herpes, H-E-R-P-E-S. We're not talking about that. That's a different conversation. We're talking about Mercury being Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S. And Hermes was the messenger, the one who escorts souls between worlds, the god of commerce, thieves, travelers, and liars. He stole Apollo's cattle on the day he was born. Then he invented the liar to apologize. Now that, you're all thinking liar. He invented the liar to apologize. Liar I'm referencing is L-Y-R-E. And it's a version of a harp, musical instrument. So he invented the liar to apologize, L-Y-R-E. Then he negotiated his way out of punishment entirely. That is Mercury. Your mind can justify anything. It can argue you into a decision and then, given 48 hours and a different mood, argue you back out of the same decision with equal conviction. Both versions think they're right. Both versions are technically using the same brain. This is Mercury arguing with Mercury. And the unsettling part isn't that it happens. It's that you can't always tell when it's happening. Mercury doesn't just process information, it rationalizes. It constructs narratives. It builds a story out of scattered evidence and presents that story to you as facts. I'm sure we know quite a few people that do that. They have scattered opinions and they present a story to you as facts. And then upon further review, you find out that it's irrational and delusional. So when you study Mercury in a chart, you're not studying raw intelligence. You're studying bias, the specific shape of how a person translates experience into meaning. Now, a little bit of an advanced layer. Mercury as a filter. Every input your consciousness receives passes through Mercury before it becomes a thought you're aware of. And Mercury filters based on its condition in the chart, its sign, its house, its aspects, whether it's rising or setting, whether it's combust the sun, burned up and weakened, or in its most powerful state, which in traditional practice is called Kazimi, C-A-Z-I-M-E, Kazimi. That's when Mercury sits in the exact heart of the sun and paradoxically becomes extraordinarily potent. The flame doesn't destroy it. It purifies it. A well-placed Mercury in good dignity with benefic support information flows clearly. Thinking is coherent. Communication is precise. You say what you mean and mean what you say. A Mercury in poor dignity with malefic interference, the filter develops a persistent distortion. Maybe you always assume the worst. Some people label that as pessimistic. And they might call that person a Debbie Downer. Maybe you over-explain everything to the point where the original point is buried under 17 qualifications. Oh, Aquarius comes to mind thinking about that. Maybe you argue positions you're not even sure you believe, because the act of arguing is where your Mercury feels most at home. Ah, nothing like a good argument at home. Delicious. The practical implication of all this is genuinely uncomfortable. You cannot fully trust your own mind to be objective. Not because you're broken, but because no mind is objective. Mercury, by its nature, edits. The question isn't whether the filter exists. The question is whether you know what shape yours is in. That's something to ponder. Now I'm going to talk about Mercury through the 12 different houses in astrology. This is where it gets personal. The house Mercury occupies in your natal chart tells you where the mind is most active, what domain of life the intellect is pointed at, and how the processing and communication style plays out in your day-to-day reality. Think of the sign Mercury is in as how it thinks, and the house as what it thinks about. So again, think of the sign that Mercury is in as how it thinks, but then the house that Mercury is in is what it thinks about. Mercury in the first house, known as the house of self. This is about identity, appearance, first impression. Mercury in the first house puts the mind front and center, literally. Your intellect is your calling card. You speak before you think, or think while speaking, which is basically the same thing. You come across as sharp, witty, and always a little restless. In traditional astrology, the first house is the angular house of the ascendant, the most powerful and visible placement in the entire chart. Planets here are energized and prominent. They show up immediately when you walk into a room. Mercury here is no exception. People meet you, and they meet your mind first. Your words, your humor, your way of framing things, that's your first impression. That's the whole impression, honestly. So, to be real, you're the person who says, "Great question," at a party, and then proceeds to give a TED talk. People don't know if you're a genius or just very caffeinated. Possibly both. You were probably the kid who couldn't stop asking, "But why?" until the adults got visibly tired. Now let's go to Mercury in the second house, known as the House of Resources. This is about money and possession and material values. Mercury in the second house means your mind is wired around value. What things are worth, how to acquire them, and how to talk about money without being weird about it, with a debatable success rate. In traditional astrology, the second house is a succeedent house linked to security, sustenance, and material goods. Mercury here often produces skill in trade, commerce, financial communication, or the ability to monetize your words, such as writing, speaking, selling, or consulting. You think about resources the way other people think about relationships. There is a spreadsheet. It is detailed. You consider this normal. You've thought deeply about your net worth, to be real with you, at least once during a conversation about something completely unrelated. You also negotiate at farmers markets. might be prone to do that. People find this either impressive or exhausting, depending on whether they're on your side of the transaction. Now we go to Mercury in the third house. That's known as the house of communication. This is about siblings, short travel, local environment, and early education. This is Mercury's natural domain. In traditional Hellenistic astrology, the third house was considered a mercurial house, sometimes called the house of the goddess, and Mercury placed here is essentially at home. It functions with ease, fluency, genuine delight. The mind is quick, curious, and constantly gathering information from its immediate environment. You're the person who has somehow already heard about whatever you're discussing, not because you're showing off, because you genuinely read everything, talked to everyone, and process it all before most people have finished their coffee. Now let's get real. You have 6 browser tabs open right now, and consider this a sign of intelligence, not a cry for help. Your sibling probably texts you memes, and you respond with 3 paragraphs and follow-up questions. You have strong opinions about words. Now we move to Mercury in the fourth house. That's known as the house of home. That's about family, ancestry, private life, psychological roots. Mercury in the fourth house turns the mind inward and backward. You process things privately, but deeply think about family dynamics and have extremely detailed opinions about your childhood that you share selectively. And only when trust has been thoroughly established. In traditional astrology, the fourth house is an angular house at the IC, the lowest point of the chart, directly opposite the midheaven. Planets here are hidden, but foundational. They operate beneath the surface and shape everything above them. Mercury here gives a mind that was formed by the home environment, by ancestry, by what was said and not said around the dinner table. You didn't just grow up in a house, you studied it. Now let's get real. You're the family historian no one asked for. You've analyzed your parents' communication styles both in therapy and independently, possibly with a diagram. You think best in your own space, ideally with snacks, and no one asking you anything. And we all know quite a few people who like to have their snacks handy. Now we go to Mercury in the fifth house, and this is known as the house of pleasure. Sign me up. So this is about creativity and romance and children and play and self-expression. Some people play with themselves as a form of self-expression, but that's for another time, everybody. Mercury in the fifth house is genuinely fun. The mind becomes playful, dramatic, and creative, built for storytelling, performance, and clever romantic pursuit. In traditional astrology, the fifth house is the house of children, games, and delight. It's joy made structural. Mercury here loves to entertain with ideas and write fiction and flirt with wit and treat intellectual sparring as a sport you didn't realize you were playing until you're already winning. The mind isn't just processing here, it's performing. There is an audience, real or imagined, and Mercury in the fifth knows exactly where the spotlight is. Now, let's get real. You write really good texts, like suspiciously good. You've been told your messages read like movie dialogue. This is a compliment, mostly. You've also quoted yourself to yourself at least once because it was a really good line. Pretty much you're patting yourself on the back. Now, we go to Mercury in the sixth house, which is the house of service. This deals with health, work routines, daily life, service, and craft. Mercury in the sixth house is the most productive Mercury. The mind is analytical, detail-oriented, and quietly excellent at fixing things, systems, processes, inefficiencies, and occasionally other people's lives, whether they ask or not. In traditional Hellenistic astrology, the sixth house is associated with ill fortune, bodily toil, and servants. Not a glamorous house by ancient standards, but Mercury here takes that mundane territory and turns it into mastery. Systems, craft, precision, health optimization, the endless satisfying refinement of process. You are the person who figures out a better way to do the thing and then has to resist telling everyone immediately. Now let's get real. You have a spreadsheet for something normal people don't spreadsheet. Your calendar has color-coded categories. You've optimized your morning routine and have opinions about it that you will share if anyone makes eye contact long enough. Now we go to Mercury in the seventh house. That's known as the house of partnership. And this is about marriage and open enemies and partnerships and contracts. Mercury in the seventh house means you think through other people. The mind is dialogic. You process ideas by testing them against someone else and debating and negotiating and refining in conversation. You don't fully know what you think until you've said it out loud to another person and heard the response. In traditional astrology, the seventh house is an angular house of opposition, the house of the other, of the person across from you, whether that's a spouse, a business partner, or an opponent. Mercury here thrives in partnerships and counseling and legal matters and contract negotiation and any context that requires reading another person with precision. You are very good at understanding what people mean, not just what they say. Now, let's get real. You can see every side of an argument, which is great for mediation and genuinely exhausting for your own decision-making. You've talked your way into and out of the same situation more than once. You're excellent in debate and sometimes wish there were more formal occasions for it. Now we go to Mercury in the 8th house. This is known as the house of transformation. This is about death, shared resources, sexuality, the cult, crises, and hidden things. Mercury in the 8th house is the detective, the depth psychologist, and the one who Googles things other people are afraid to look up. The mind goes deep. And as I've said before, some people like it deep. It probes hidden information, and it fundamentally is drawn to what's unspoken, the subtext beneath the text, the truth beneath the explanation, the thing nobody at the table is saying. In traditional Hellenistic astrology, the 8th house is the house of death, a cadent house associated with crises and inheritance and hidden matters. It was not considered a favorable house for most planets, but Mercury here is exceptional. It gives a mind that thrives in research and investigation and occult studies and crises communication and psychology and financial depth. You don't skim surfaces. You don't find surfaces interesting. That's why. Now, let's get real. You've read the Wikipedia article on list of unusual deaths completely unprompted. You ask follow-up questions that make people slightly uncomfortable. You're not trying to be intimidating. That's just your brain running its normal diagnostic on everything. Now we go to Mercury in the 9th house. This is known as the house of philosophy. This is about higher education and religion and foreign travel and worldview and law. Mercury in the 9th house is a philosopher, someone who needs big ideas, cross-cultural experiences, and a worldview that is constantly being updated, revised, and expanded. The mind is not satisfied with local knowledge. It wants the whole picture. It wants to know why the systems exist, not just how they work. In traditional astrology, this is one of the more powerful placements for Mercury because the ninth house, the house above the horizon before the midhaven, was associated with religion, law, foreign lands, and higher learning. It was sometimes called the house of the sun god. Mercury here gives natural skill in academia, publishing, theology, philosophy, and any intellectual framework with large implications for how life is understood. Now, let's get real. You have strong opinions about philosophy you developed independently that turn out to already be Stoicism or Buddhism or some other tradition with thousands of years of literature behind it. You also tell people about your travels, frequently, in detail, with context. Now, we go to Mercury in the 10th house, which is known as the house of career. This is about public reputation and career and authority figures and legacy and the midhaven. Mercury in the 10th house makes the mind visible and public. Career is built on intellect, communication, and skill with words. In traditional astrology, the 10th house is the most powerful angular house, the midhaven, the highest point in the chart, and the most publicly visible placement a planet can occupy. Planets here are seen. They shape how the world perceives you. Mercury here gives natural aptitude for public speaking and writing and business communication and media and teaching and any career that depends on being heard clearly and concisely. Your reputation is your intelligence. The way you think and speak becomes, over time, what you are known for. Now, let's get real. People Google you and find impressive things. You've given a talk, written something public, or have opinions that have reached a wider audience than you originally planned. LinkedIn, that might be your natural habitat. You received a compliment about your communication skills from someone you report to, and it meant more than you admitted. Now, Mercury in the 11th house. This is known as the house of community. This is about friends, groups, collective ideals, future hopes, and benefactors. Mercury in the 11th house is the network builder. The mind flourishes in groups, collectives, and communities of shared ideas. You think best in collaboration, not because you can't work alone, but because other minds genuinely sharpen yours in ways that solitude does not. In traditional Hellenistic astrology, the 11th house is the house of good spirit, one of the most favorable houses in the chart. Associated with joy, hopes, friends, and benefactors. Mercury here gives a naturally social intellect that thrives in group discussion, intellectual communities, social causes, collective projects, and any context where many minds are aimed at the same problem. You have probably organized something at some point without fully meaning to. Now, let's get real. You have a group chat for every context of your life. You've sent a link in at least three of them today, maybe. You're the one who says everyone should read this and actually means it, which is rare and underappreciated quality. Now, we go to Mercury in the 12th house, which is the house of hidden things, the unconscious, isolation, hidden enemies, spirituality, what is concealed. Mercury in the 12th house is the most interior, secretive, and spiritually complex. Mercury, in traditional Hellenistic astrology, the 12th is the house of bad spirit, associated with isolation, hidden enemies, confinement, and things that are concealed from the world. It was considered one of the most difficult house placements for any planet. But Mercury here operates beneath the surface in ways that can be genuinely profound. The mind works through dreams, solitude, introspection, and contemplation. It often channels creativity or insight through writing, spiritual practice, or work done behind the scenes where no one is watching. There may be difficulty communicating directly. Thoughts form in private and emerge slowly, if at all. The inner monologue is rich and complex. The outer expression is measured and delayed or deliberately hidden. This is the placement of the person whose journal is doing more emotional labor than any conversation in their life. And the journal is excellent. Now, let's get real. You have entire conversations in your head that no one else has ever heard. You write the best unsent messages. You've had a thought so good, you immediately thought, I can never tell anyone this, and filed it away. Your inner world is a cathedral. The door is just hard to find from the outside. Here's the bottom line on Mercury. Whether your Mercury is sharp or slow, social or solitary, philosophical or practical, it is always, at its core, a translator. It is taking the raw, unfiltered chaos of lived experience and converting it into something your conscious mind can work with. The ancient astrologers called Mercury the psychopomp of the mind, the escort between worlds, between what actually happened and what you believe happened, between what someone said and what you heard, between who you are and the story you tell yourself about who you are. That gap between reality and Mercury's translation of it is where all human misunderstanding lives. And also, if you're lucky, where all wisdom eventually comes from. So, I'm asking you, sincerely, know your Mercury. It's not just how you think. It's the shape of your inner world. I hope I have shed some insight and understanding about the intricacies and complexities and simplicities also of Mercury, and that you'll be able to utilize this information and look where Mercury is in your chart and try to understand it. It'll lead to a deeper understanding of you and in how you process information with other people as well. Well, thank you for listening. And as always, remember to stand in your own truth.
If you like these daily horoscopes and want one personalized for you, same style, 3 minutes, about your chart, you can book a first impression reading at IamAstrologyReadings.com for $25 and I'll record it, drop it right here on the feed. Tips is also welcome, even a dollar helps. Full deep dive readings also available. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all at I Am Astrology Readings. My brother's gotta eat too. I appreciate you in advance.